Tonight we're going to talk about bringing Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. So why are we talking about bringing Karbanos Bizman Hazeh? So the official topic of the Tuesday night shiur is inyanim relating to recent Daf Yomi. So we could have done a lot of things about Megillah, but we're about to start Chodesh Av. So it seems a little strange to do things about Megillah and Afin Ha'ibos Ha'nes and things of that nature. It happens to be that we just did a Gemara yesterday that discussed bringing Karbanos nowadays. It says that we're makrav Karbanos Afal Pi Shein Bayis, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, considering that we're in the time of Bein HaMetzarim, where we're doing a lot of thinking about the Makom HaMikdash, we're doing a lot of thinking about Eretz Yisrael and about the Chorban HaBayis and what we're missing because of the lack of a Beis HaMikdash, I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about this topic. And I had never looked into this topic before. I had never done anything on this topic before. So today I had an enjoyable afternoon looking into this topic because I was surprised by how interesting I found it. The reason I never looked into it before is because I never found it all that interesting, but I started to look into it. And it was fairly interesting. First, let's start with the connection in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara Megillah Daf Yud discusses whether Kedusha Rishon is Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Aslava or Lo Kitcha L'Aslava. Do we assume that the original Kedusha HaMikdash remains intact even after the Chorban HaBayis, or do we assume that the Kedusha goes away after the Chorban HaBayis? So the Gemara tells us on source number one, Am Rabbi Yitzchak Shamati Shemakriven BeBeis Chonyo Bizman Hazeh. So Rabbi Yitzchak reports that we bring Karbanos even in Beis Chonyo Bizman Hazeh. What is Beis Chonyo? So Beis Chonyo is a place in Mitzrayim where they set up a Mizbeach of sorts to bring Karbanos. There's a Machlokas in the Gemara whether Beis Chonyo was a place of Avodah Zarah where they were Makrav L'Shem Avodah Zarah or they were Makrav L'Shem Shemayim. There's a whole backstory as to why Beis Chonyo was set up in Machlokas Tanayim. Not really our topic, not going to get into it now. Discuss it a little bit in the Daf Yomi Shir. But Rabbi Yitzchak says that he heard that we're makrav karbanos in Beis Chonyo. So clearly Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding is that it's not L'Avodah Zarah, meaning that it was a place that was built to bring karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Kasavar, so Kasavar Beis Chonyo, Lav Beis Avodah Zarah, V'Kasavar, Kedusha Rishon, Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Aslavo. There are two ingredients into assuming that you could be makrav in Beis Chonyo. Number one is that it's not a place of Avodah Zarah, and number two is that there's no longer a Kedusha Yerushalayim, Kedusha HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Because if there were a Kedusha HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, then there's an Isra of Bamos in the rest of the world. You wouldn't be allowed to be Makrav anywhere else. It's only in the absence of a Kedushas HaMikdash in Yerushalayim that you can be Makrav Karbanos elsewhere. D'chsiv ki lo basim adata la menucha ve la nachla menucha zushilo nachla zirushalayim makish nachla la menucha ma menucha yesh achareha heter af nachla yesh achareha heter. He assumes that just like after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, we had a Heter Bamos. So too, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we have a Heter Bamos. Samulei, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yitzchak, Amart, did you really say this? You said that? You said you're allowed to bring Karbanos in Beis Chonyo? Samulehu lo. He said, no, I didn't say that. I don't know what you're talking about. Amarava, Helokim. So what do you mean? Helokim is an expression of, oh my gosh, what are you saying? Amarava Gamino Lamine. I was there. I listened. I heard it from you. We didn't have recording devices yet, but I was able to, I could tell you. I heard every word. So my time makadar base. So the question is not, did you say it, didn't you say it? We know you said it, but obviously you want to change your mind. So you're denying that you said it. So why are you changing your mind? Why do you think we're not makrav Beis Chonyo? So Mishum de Kashid Rav Mari, because he had a problem with Rav Mari, the most Rav Mari, Kedusha Shilo Yesh Achareha Heter, Kedusha Yerushalayim Ein Achareha Heter. Rav Mari points out that we have a brisa that Kedusha Yerushalayim Ein Achareha Heter, that after the Chorban HaBayis, there's no more Heter Bamos, and therefore, obviously, you can't be makrav in Beis Chonyo. Va'od Tnan, Mishabol Yerushalayim Nesra Bamos, V'lo Hayalem Od Heter, it's a Beferish Mishnah, V'yaisa L'Nachla. So says Gemara Tanayihi. This overall discussion is really a Machlokas Tanayim. Now here it is. Ditna. Amr Ablazar, Shamati Kshayubonin Behechal, Osin Klaim Lehechal. He says, I heard when in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, when they were rebuilding, time that they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, after Golos Bavel, when they made Klaim Lehechal, when they were building the Hechal, before they actually built the walls, they put makeshift curtains around the area of the Hechal, Uklaim Lazara, and before they built the Kosle Azara, they put curtains around the Azara. In the way it worked in the Hechal was, they put the curtains on the inside, and they built the wall around the curtains because they couldn't do it the other way, because the Ubazara bonu mibifnim, and the Azara, they built inside the curtains. The curtains were on the outside, and they built inside because they couldn't go into the Heichal to build, but they were allowed to go into the Azara to build, so that's how they set it up. Va'amar Rabbi Yoshua, shamati shemakrivin afal pi she'ein bayis. He says, what do you mean? You don't need the curtains there in order to be makriv. You could be makriv even if there's no Beis HaMikdash. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash to be makriv karbanos. Ochen kache kachim afal pi she'ein klein. You could eat kache kachim, which need to be eaten in the Azara, even if there are no curtains, even if there's no walls around anything. Kachim kalamayse she'ein afal pi she'ein choma. Kachim kalamayse she'ein, you need to eat in Yerushalayim, even if there are no walls in Yerushalayim, you could eat it, it's fine. The Kedusha never leaves. The Kedusha is there the whole time. And therefore, if you want to go and build a Mizbeach on Har HaBayis right now without a Beis HaMikdash, go ahead, build a Mizbeach, bring a Karban. You do not need a Beis HaMikdash in order to bring a Karban. So it says Gemara, first the Gemara says, well, that makes it sound like Rabbi Elazar holds the opposite, lo Kitchel Asalavo. Then the Hemshech of the Gemara says, now even Rabbi Elazar holds that it's Kitchel Asalavo. And Rabbi Elazar only holds, they put up these curtains, let's snooze to be Alma, because it's nicer that way. You don't want to leave the Heichel just wide open, the Azara just wide open, so they put up curtains as a makeshift measure. But the bottom line of this Gemara is that it turns out, even according to Rabbi Elazar, that the Kedusha Rishona is still there, and since the Kedusha Rishona is still there, you're allowed to be Makrav Karbanos Afal Pi She'ein Bayis. So great idea. Why aren't we Makrav Karbanos? And this is Paskan La'alacha, the Ram Milchus Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav Alacha Das Vav. Ram says it straight out, Lefichach Makrivin HaKarbanos Kulan Afal Pi She'ein Sham Bayis Banoi. You're allowed to bring all the Karbanos, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, and you can eat the Kachikachim, and you can eat the Kachinkal. You have no problems. You can do all the normal Karbanos things, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. So it's shocking. It's so jarring, meaning we think that what is it? We learned in the Gemara in Tainis that Avram Avinu complains to Hashem, how am I going to know that my children are going to Yarshin Eretz Yisrael? And Hashem says, don't worry, they have the Zuchus HaKarbanos. And Avram Avinu says, that's great when there's a Beis HaMikdash, but when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so what's the zechus going to be? So Hashem says, "Unashalma parm svaseinu." Don't worry, you could talk about the karbanos, you could learn the karbanos, say karbanos every day. We often point out that Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah seems to understand that it's an actual kiyum d'oraisa to say karbanos every day, because that's the only way we could be mekayim the mitzvah of bringing karbanos. Machlok zachronim, whether you need to actually understand it. Also, it's just saying the psukim is enough. Probably you need to understand a little bit at least what you're talking about, but saying the Karbanos has great value to it. But there's a better answer. When Avram Avinu said, what's going to happen when there's no Beis HaMikdash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have said, what do you mean? What does Beis HaMikdash have to do with Karbanos? Karbanos are one thing, Beis HaMikdash is another thing. Bring Karbanos whatever you... And the truth is, even if you hold that Loki Shalasudavo, still, you could bring Karbanos everywhere. Then you could bring it in Beis Chonyo. You could bring on Bamos, and it would be more expensive. But we assume Kitchel Asalavo. But at the very least, we could bring on Har HaBayis. We should be allowed to bring Karbanos on Har HaBayis. So there is a significant literature in Achronim on this topic. It flared up in a real big way in the 19th century, and then had a little bit of a flare up again with Hakamas and Medina in 1967, but not in any way really lemaisa. Even though there's the Israeli courts every year have to stop a group from going that tries to bring Karban Pesach every year, But in a realistic way, it flared up, and you find a lot of discussion at two points in history. But the first time that you have a significant discussion in the 19th century is not the first time we have on record that someone thought of this idea and that someone wanted to implement this idea. So before we even get into the history of it, it's important to frame the discussion the way that Tzitz Eliezer frames it, because... Sometimes, you say things in a shir, b'toras limud, and people start thinking, they start getting ideas, and they start saying, he's advocating this politically untenable position, and that's... So the Tzitz Eliezer frames it very clearly. He writes in source number 3, in Chelek Yibesim Mem Zayin, L'da'ati ein kol makom l'chumar kuzel. Someone asks, should we be machmir to bring... Karbanos, or to at least designate a Karban Pesach. I don't remember what the Shaila was exactly, but something along these lines. Degambi matzo bikiruv ma. Oh no, the shaila was should you be machmir to be far away so that to be bedarach rechoka so you'd be pater from korban pesach, because if you're near Yerushalayim and near the makam mikdash, then you're going to be chayiv in korban pesach. That was the shaila. Should you be machmir to be far away? I just saw something in here in the YU Torah to go thing. I just saw something. Yeah, that's something similar. It said Rabbi J.J. Schachter writes on page 27 over here that Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson instructed his followers to remove themselves to a distance of 15 mil from the city on Erev Pesach, out of concern that should they not do so, they might be obligated to bring Korban Pesach. That the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so this is what Sitz Eliezer was probably responding to, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe held, don't get involved in the chiyuv, so stay away, and that way you won't have a chiyuv that you're being mevatel l'mitzvah. But then he writes, but 8 years later in 1975, he changed his mind due to the fact that since the situation has changed, it was no longer appropriate to even entertain the possibility that the sacrifice could be brought, and therefore no such move was necessary. Footnote 9, see something. Okay, fine. Minhagi Chabad. So that's the Lubavitcher Rebbe apparently held that there is a real chiyuv if you're nearby, and therefore you have to be far away to try to avoid the whole situation. He had a few unusual shitas where he held that you should just stay far away. There was another one that we discussed once at length about crossing the date line during Sfiras HaOmer, where the Lubavitcher Rebbe's shita, and he writes this in many letters. At first he writes it somewhat hesitantly, and then he gets more and more confidence as the years go on, and you trace the letters of the Rebbe. So at first he writes, maybe you could say that if a person counts Sfiras HaOmer and he crosses the date line, he should continue his own Sfira, and when he finishes his own Sfira, that will be his Shavuos, even though it's not everybody else's Shavuos around him. Maybe you could say it's Kedai to be Machmir, told 3 days Shavuos for that. And then a few years later, Meikra Adin, you should really hold 3 days Shavuos. Maybe it's Kedai to be Meikra Adin, you should really hold your 2 days Shavuos. Maybe Kedai to be Machmir for what everyone else is doing also. But really, then a few years later, forget about what everyone else is doing. You have your Shavuos, it's really your Shavuos, and you should observe. So when I mentioned that in Shul, Levi Baron, who's a Lubavitcher Chassid, came over to me and said, no real Lubavitcher would ever cross the date line during Sfiras HaOmer. They're very makpid to go around the other way. They pay however much more it costs to go around the world the other way, so that they would not have to cross during Sfiras HaOmer. So this reminded me a little bit of this. So Lubavitcher Rebbe said, so stay away from the Har HaBayis, from the area, be bederech rechoka, don't be within tesvav mil of Yerushalayim, and that way you won't have to worry about the chiyuv of Korban Pesach. So Tzitz Eliezer says, well, chiyuv of Korban Pesach, there's no chiyuv. He says, kol ma sha'amlu b'sifrei aposkim hurak alef sharus hakrava, avlo al chiyuv. He said, the whole discussion we're going to have is whether it's possible to bring a korban, not whether you're chayiv to bring a korban. There's no one that holds that you're chayiv without a Beis HaMikdash. Question is, if we were able to, if we did go and had the wherewithal to put in the effort and expend the political capital and whatever else it would take to get a mizbeach built on Har HaBayis, would it be kosher? Would we have the ability to do so? But a chiyuv to do so, we certainly don't have. And he says, "V'gamkein ruba deruba donu b'zerak mi v'chinos droshu kabel schar bilvad." He says most of the poskim when they talk about this are talking about drosh v'kabel schar. They're just talking and learning. They're not talking lemaisa. We'll see that that's not entirely true. Some of the Gedolei Achronim really were talking lemaisa. It wasn't just drosh v'kabel schar. So what are the two historical events that are of significance over here? So one is in the Sefer Kaftor v'Ferach. He writes as follows. This is from the times of the late Rishonim already. Once we assume that Kedusha Rishon is still there, that's why Somnus Tameh goes into the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash, is Chayiv Kares. V'hiskim v'zeh Moreinu Rav Baruch Zal, Gam Kiyomre Elai, and he also told me, this Moreinu Rav Baruch, B'Yerushalayim k'sheveisi alav zeh ha-sefer la'avar alav la'agiyo, when I was in Yerushalayim and I brought him this book, Kaftor v'Ferach, to help me edit the sefer and to give me haris on the book. So this Rabbeinu Baruch told me, Sh'Rabbeinu Yechiel mi-Pariz, Amar lavo li-Yerushalayim, v'hu b'shnas shva esrei le'elof ha-shishi, v'sheyakruv karbonos b'zman hazeh. The Rabbeinu Yechiel mi-Pariz had a plan to go to Yerushalayim and to bring karbonos b'zman hazeh. So that was the first record we have. The Rabbi Yechiel Paris, one of the Rishonim, one of the Balei HaTosfos, wanted to go to Yerushalayim and wanted to bring Karbanos even though there was no Beis HaMikdash. So says the Kaftar V'Ferach, so you hear something like that, you would think, you know, okay, start writing a tshuva, you know, get involved. He said, I had kashas, but I didn't have the head to deal with it. I was trying to publish a sefer, so I didn't want to get involved with Rabbi Baruch to ask him what he can do better. Artuma, Vina Akornam Yuchas, Anochi Bedaruch Lefnei Shilo, Niskarti Alacha Shein Locha Shal Atuma. He said, what do you do with Koinam Yuchas? Then I remember you don't have to worry about Tuma because Karbanos Sibor Adocha Shabbos and Docha Tuma. But you know, I had questions, I just didn't get involved. I didn't think about it, says the Kaftar Baruch. That's the first time we have on record, and there's no like firestorm that ensued. Probably because it never happened. Meaning, there was no way that Rabbi Yechiel Miparis in the 13th century went and brought Karbanos in Yerushalayim. He may have had such a plan, but it never happened. Had it happened, we would have seen the echoes of it in the writings of the Rishonim. But it didn't happen. And then, many, many years later, in the 19th century, one of the great Talmidei Chacham, the Talmud of two of the Gedolei Achron, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, was a Talmud of both Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivis, and he was a big Oev Tzion. He was someone who had a very, very strong yearning for Eretz Yisrael, and he decided that he wanted to bring Karbanos, and he suggested the idea, and he sent it out to all the Gedolim, to his Rebbeim, and to others, and he suggested the idea, and then he waited for all the letters to come back, and they did. There was a lot that came back, and a lot of people wrote back to him, and then it's very similar. This reminded me a lot of the Ritzina Rebbe's Tcheles discussion, you know, where he had this idea, he sent out this letter to everybody, and everybody got back to him, and then he couldn't even write back to everybody, because everybody had what to say, mostly critical. So he had to write a book that addresses all the overlapping tainas that everyone has. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer had the same thing. A lot of people wrote back, and obviously there was overlap in the tainas that they had. So he said, you know what, I'm going to write a book. And he wrote a sefer Drishas Tzion, where he discusses why he thinks it's mutter to bring Karbanos Bezman Hazeh, and that we should bring Karbanos Bezman Hazeh. That's the appropriate thing to do. Now, obviously, the conversation assumes that we're not going to start World War III by bringing Karbanos Bezman Hazeh. That would be a bad idea, presumably. In fact, I mentioned before that it's not so pashut that all the Achronim were just being, hypothetical, theoretical, and didn't think of this Lamaisa. If you look in the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, just at the very beginning of the Tshuva, in source number 15, Chassam Sofer writes a Tshuva to Mori Chami Gaon Yisrael, Nezar Hodom V'Tefartam, etc., etc., V'Kiva, Av Bezin, Dekilo Kedosha Pozna. He's writing to Rabbi Kivager, to his father-in-law. So he writes, that which you, my father-in-law, write, that I should levakesh misari Yerushalayim litein rishos lahakriv. He says, you told me that I should go and I should speak to the government officials who I have a relationship with and maybe get them to allow us to be makriv karbanos. So he says, hu kapton gadol, ki hu amar leval yikrav sham, mi she'eno me'amunas Yishmael. He says, I don't know if you know what's going on there, but there's a mosque there, you know, and they're not so happy when Jews go there and start doing, our own worship. They don't like that we go there. And they say that the Evan Shasia, which is in the Makam Niaron, is right there in the middle of the dome, Be'emtza Kippa Hi. V'likrav Sham Ishzar She'enu Me'um Nasam. You can't just have someone who's not a Muslim show up in the Harabais. So he says, in terms of the Lamaisa part of what you're writing, but it sounds like Rabbi Kivager was saying Lamaisa, you know, let's get it done. Let's see what you can do. Puts it on the son-in-law to try to figure it out. But the Chassam Sofer says, let's keep this in the Beis Medrash. This is not going to be Lamaisa. It's not something that we can do. Okay, so let's keep it in the Beis Medrash. But in the Beis Medrash, so can you bring Karbanos Bezman Hazeh? Can you not bring Karbanos? So there are a couple of rayos that there were Karbanos brought even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, or at the very least, that Karbanos can be brought after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that it was necessary, it's actually source number 5, yeah, it appears on the top of page 3, Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Biyochon Shlosh Neviim Alui Mahim Min Agola. That when Golus Bavel was over, they had 3 Neviim that came with them. Echad Sheheilem Al Mizbeach. One of them was made exactly where the Mizbeach, on the dimensions of the Mizbeach, exactly how to build the Mizbeach to scale. Ve'echad Sheheilem Al Makom Mizbeach. You needed a second Navi in order to tell them where exactly the Mizbeach should be built. And then you had a third to tell you that you could be makriv karbanos afal pi she'ein bayis. So essentially what you had was, you needed people to tell you with certainty, al pi nevuah, how to make a mizbeach, where to make a mizbeach, and then it matters that you could be makriv afal pi she'ein bayis. But without that, it doesn't matter that you could be makriv afal pi she'ein bayis. But the implication is that they were makriv afal pi she'ein bayis, meaning before they had a chance to finish the whole project, the whole construction project, first thing they did is, before they build everything, build a mizbeach and get karbanos going. You know, one of the things that we mourn on Shavuos HaBetamid is batal hatamid, is that we lost the karban tamid. So the first thing you want to get going, get the karban tamid going again. Get karbanos working again. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will take years to build. It could take a very, very long time to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what it sounds like they did, that they first got the karbanos going. So it seems like something that they actually did. So Rav Yaakov Ettlinger in the Binyan Sion, in the Tshuva, in the very first Tshuva in Binyan Sion, addresses this issue. The Shoel in the Binyan Sion has three rayas that you're allowed to bring karbanos bezman hazeh. This is one of them. And the Binyan Sion says, no, that was a different story. That was once they're starting the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, then you could bring karbanos before the whole Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. But to stop and bring karbanos when there are no plans in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the construction of the Beis HaMikdash isn't underway, and you just stop bringing karbanos out of nowhere, that you're not allowed to do. So that, and that was never done. That the only this is different. Now the idea, the concept that he's working with is a concept of aschalta de geula, meaning we often think of geula as, you know, it's a moment. It's when it happens, it happens. So he's working with the concept that you begin the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the beginning of geula. Granted, it's not complete until you have geula shlema, but there's a halachic nafkamina to have an aschalta, that with the aschalta comes the ability to bring karbanos, because you're working toward having a Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to if you just stop bringing karbanos out of nowhere, that's not an aschalta of anything. That's just bringing karbanos, and that you can't do. It has to be somehow associated with geula. That's how the Binyan Sion assumes, but he understands aschalta de geula with very strict guidelines, that aschalta de geula means you're actually involved in a construction project of the Beis HaMikdash. We've pointed out many times in the past, the definition of geula is Beis HaMikdash. We often think of the definition of geula being redemption from physical bondage, from also definition of geula, Ramban writes in his Hakdama to Sefer Shemos, definition of geula is Beis HaMikdash, is Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Sefer Shemos is called Sefer HaGeula. People think, oh, it's called by Chazal, Sefer HaGeula, because that's when we got out of Mitzrayim. It's not why, says Ramban. It's because at the end of the Sefer, there are four and a half parshios, all about the building of the Mishkan. That's the Geula in the Sefer. We needed to get out of Mitzrayim in order to get there, but that's the real Geula. So you have this geder of Aschalta de Geula, so the Binyan Sion doesn't think this is a great Raya. Then you have another Raya that Rav Tzvi Rosh Kalischer brings. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Ayin Hey tells us almost matter-of-factly that Rav Gamliel once told his servant, Tevi Avdo, Tzevet Tzalei Lanu Asa Pesach, go roast for me a Karban Pesach. Rav Gamliel was telling his servant to roast Karban Pesach. When did Rav Gamliel live? So that's a trick question. When did Rav Gamliel live? Because there was two Rav Gamliels, right? There's Rav Gamliel HaZakein, who lived during Zman Bayesheni, and then there was his Enikel. There was Rav Gamliel Diavna, who lived after the Zman Beis HaMikdash. So Tzvi Rosh Kalischer assumes this is obviously not Rav Gamliel HaZakein. So this is obviously after the Churban HaBayis, and he still has someone, he has his servant, going and roasting Karban Pesach. Why does he make that assumption? So it's likely that he makes that assumption based on a conversation that happens in the Gemara in Baba Kama, Dafayin Dalet and Beis. The Brice in Baba Kama, in Dalet and Beis, tells us, Maisim Gamliel Shasimes Ein Tevi Avdo. This servant Tevi was really fantastic. Rav Gamliel loved him. He comes up all over the Mishnayos, and he was a Talmud Chacham, and Rav Gamliel brags about the fact that his servant is a Talmud Chacham. And the Elamai, there's an Isra Daraisi, you're not allowed to free a slave. He would have loved to free him, and you know, he'd be a great addition to the Jewish community with that full Kedusha Yisrael. But he couldn't free him. There's Nisa Daraisa. But there's a halacha that never is Yotze B'Shem Va'ayin. So Rav Gamliel one time knocked out Tevi's eye. Vayesameach Simcha Gedola. And he was so excited. He's like, oh, Baruch Hashem, it finally happened. And Tevi's like, thanks a lot, you know. And Umatzal Rav Yeshua, and he runs into Rav Yeshua. Amrlo, Iyata Yodea Shetevi, Avdi Yotze L'Cheres. Did you hear the great news? My servant Tevi is going free. So Amar lo lama, he said, why? Amar lo she samisi aseinu, because I blinded him. Amar lo, ein bidvaracha klum, shekvar ein lo edim. No, you need edim to it, so you got to get the other eye with edim. You know, you have to do it again. So now it doesn't work without it. Okay, whatever the whole story is. But the conversation is about this same servant between Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was definitely a contemporary of the second Rav Gamliel, not the first Rav Gamliel. So that's why Sirish Kalasher makes the assumption that it's the second Rav Gamliel. So here's another raya that they had korbanos, that at least Korban Pesach, after the Korban Abayis. So that's another significant raya. A third raya, the Netziv understands, a pasuk in Chumash, Vayikra Perecha Vav, Menasati Yasarechem, Harevav Hashimosias Mikdashechem V'lo Ariach Bereach Nichachachem. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy your Mikdash and I'm not going to smell the pleasant smells of your Karbanos. So says the Netziv in Hamakdavar, that even though the Mikdash is destroyed, but it's still possible to have Mizbeach B'Makomo and to be Makriv Kimo Shahaya Be'emes B'Churban Bayesheni, like they had after the Churban Bayesheni. The Mizman Churban Abayis had Churban Beitar, Shaz Nechra Shehechel V'Naras Mizbeach, Haya Ola Mizbeach Kayam. That after the Churban Abayis, until Churban Beitar, when the Hechel was finally plowed over and the Mizbeach was completely destroyed, they had a Mizbeach, the Krivul of Psachim, and they brought a Korban Pesach there every year, like it says in Masech Sanhedrin, the first Perek, that there would be Ma'abr the Shana for Pesach, but nevertheless, Hashem is giving a curse, Lo Ariach, that he's not going to have the Reach Nichalach, because Korban Pesach, there is no din of Reach Nichalach. It's only by other Korbanos that there's a status of Reach Nichalach, so Kodesh Baruch is saying that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and there's not going to be a Reach Nichalach. What's he adding? There's not going to be a Reach Nichalach, because there's going to be Korbanos, just not a Reach Nichalach. There's going to be the Korban Pesach, which is not associated with Reach Nichalach. So you do see from all these sources that at least it was possible, at least it was once done. Now, let's discuss the Maisa. So now, so why couldn't they do it? Why can't we do it? Even if we were to have the ability, even if the international community were to say, it's totally fine, no problem, go right in and do whatever you want there. So what would be the limiting factors? So first of all, we're all Tameh. You're just going on Har HaBayis is enough of a challenge. There's a big discussion whether a Jew is allowed to go on Har HaBayis nowadays. A lot of my Talmidim, when they come back from Israel, they tell me, I went on Har HaBayis, you know, I think Rabbi Billet goes when he goes, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. I could be wrong about that. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, whatever he said, I went on Har HaBayis. There's a big discussion in the Poskim, has been for a while, whether we're allowed to go on Har HaBayis Bizman HaZeh. If one does go on Har HaBayis, you have to really know where you're going, because you're certainly not allowed to go anywhere. You have to go in very limited places. Some of the Torahs don't, they figure out where the real status of which 500 Amos by 500 Amos is actually Har HaBayis, and they don't actually take you on Har HaBayis. They'll just take you near what would be Har HaBayis, but it's further than the Kosel Maravi. So, but whatever the situation is, that alone, the Yisur to go on Har HaBayis is if a person has Tumas Ziva, if a person is a Zav, he's not allowed to go on Har HaBayis. So what's the problem? None of us are Zav. We don't experience that anymore. Zav doesn't exist anymore. So Chazal, where goes there, that Nama Aretz has the din of a Zav. That anyone who is not familiar with Tumentara, which would mean all of us have a din of a Zav. It's all discussion in the postkin. So what does the person do? If he's a Zav, he goes to the mikveh, and that solves his Ziva. So anyone who goes on Arbayis goes to the mikveh first. So the discussion in the postkin. That solves your Ziva, but it doesn't solve your Amaratzus. So if Chazal goes there, that an Amaratz has a din of a Zav, it doesn't help. It's Tovel V'Shar, it's Biyado. You know, as you're going to the mikveh, you're still an Amaratz. Okay, interesting taina. Where Chazal goes there, you should have Tumentara Ziva in a more strict way than someone who's actually a Zav would have it. Probably not. So it's a debatable point. But whatever the story is with Har HaBayis, when we're talking about going to the Makom Mizbeach, so now you can't even have Tumas Meis. And that, we don't have the ability, that's not a simple trip to the mikveh. Getting out of the status of Tumas Meis involves a Parah Aduma. So we don't have a Parah Aduma. So that's every couple of years, you know, you see in the news, they found another potential Parah Aduma until they look at it a little more carefully. So then it's not a Parah Aduma. But you know, without a Parah Aduma, we can't do anything. We can't get out of Tumas Meis. So right away, that's a very limiting factor. Meaning that would now take us from saying that we could bring any carbon we want to we can't bring carbonos at all because we can't go there. But Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. if it's a carbon tzibur, you're allowed to do a petumah when the tzibur is tameh. When Rav tzibur is tameh, you don't have anyone who's tahor to do it otherwise, so then you're allowed to do a petumah. So we could take away all karbonos yachid, okay? The kinei, zavin, zavos, yoldos, all that, you know, take those out of the mix. You could take any karbon chatos, personal chatos that a person brings out of the mix. You could take an olas nedava, you know, shalmei, whatever. You could take ri'iyah, you could take all that stuff out of the mix. Now you only have the karbonos tzibur, but still, it would be really nice to bring karbon tamid every day. It would be great to bring karbon musaf on Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. It would be fantastic. So should we take those out of the mix also? So that would be tumah hutra b'tzibur. So then there's another limiting factor that also limits it severely. The Rambam writes in the first parak of Hashkalim, parak al halacha ches, Hashkalim eina noa ginele b'fnei abayis. We can only collect machzah shekel when we have a beis hamikdash. So what? You can't buy a carbon tzibur from money that's not from the machzah shekel. Let's say that without three negatives. You can only buy a carbon tzibur with machzah shekel money, right? So if you can only buy a carbon tzibur with machzah shekel money, but you can only collect machzah shekel money when there's beis hamikdash, we can't collect mamun tzibur. So we don't have mamun tzibur to be able to purchase the karbanos. So that's another significantly limiting factor. So now what we need to do, if we want to bring any carbon, it's going to have to be a carbon tzibur that we're allowed to do betumah, and comes from private money. It's allowed to come from private money. And there's only one carbon that fits both of those qualifications, and that is the carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach is unique because it enjoys like this mixed status of both a carbon tzibur and a carbon yachid. Normally, a carbon tzibur is one person; the one carbon is brought on behalf of the entire tzibur, and karbanos yachid is each individual brings his own. Carbon Pesach, each individual brings his own, but it's all on the same day, in the same place, and it's done bechabura. Like, it's a very interesting carbon, and there's reason for that, probably because Pesach is when we went from being a bunch of yechidim to being an am, so it was the transition from being people to being a people. So that's so that karban represents that transition. It has status of yachid and status of a tzibur within the single karban. So that's the only karban. But still, it seems kedai. You could have a karban Pesach. It wouldn't just have to be Zeichel Mikdash Kilel. We could be able to do the actual karban Pesach. It would be wonderful. So the whole discussion is only about that carbon. Okay, great. So now let's have that discussion. What's the problem? Why wouldn't we be allowed to bring this the carbon Pesach bizman hazeh? So there are probably more, but what I found in, you know, an afternoon of a couple of hours of research today is five issues that come up. Issue number one, and when I say issue number one, this is not the highest in terms of the most significant issue, the most problematic issue. I'm not going in that order. I'm not really going in any order. I didn't really have time to think through a proper order. But this was, I guess, issue number one, the most interesting, I think, is a comment or a chiddush of the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav is a chiddush. It's quoted by Rav Sternbach in Ma'adim Uzmanim, Chelek Hei, on page 223 and 224 in Ma'adim Zmanim, he writes, Shamati b'shem Maran Hagon Rav Yitzchak Zev Salvechik Zatzal Brisk. De be'inan la'olamim beis hamikdash bahar dafka. That in order to have karbanos, you need to bring it on a har. De bahar Hashem yira'a v'haynu bahar amuria. V'chein mikramalei. Ha'har chamadal kim l'shiftav. V'hevi sh'adavar mavur lahedya. Shekein v'tosefta sof perikal v'debrachos she'ein achina chazeres l'tocho ad she'teyasa har. That the Shekhinah is not going to be there until it becomes a har. And he says that explains the zemer that we sing on Shabbos, Elokim tein b'midbar har. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put a mountain in the midbar. What does that mean? Shakavanas shetzarech dafka har legilui Shekhinah beveis hamikdash. We need a mountain in order to have a gilui Shekhinah. Vayom charav esham in kamidbar. Now it's destroyed. It's like a midbar. It's like a desolate desert. Velo nikra har klal, and it's not recognizable as a mountain at all. Vizel damrina lo contained by midbar har. V'nischa lebeis kacho v'gilui Shekhinaso uktavar mivor b'kiryas sefer. And he says, and I found this in other achronim as well. This idea of a har. Why do we need a har specifically in order to have hashras hashchina? So he says it could be based on an unbelievable chiddush. Rav Sternbach now suggests based on a chiddush from Rav Nassan Adler that he quotes the medrash that when Avraham Avinu saw the makom that he was supposed to do the akedas Yitzchak, it was an emek, it was a valley, and he davened that it's not kvodo shel melech be'em. Eimek, that it's not the proper cover of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it should be in a valley. And right away, a mountain grew on the Makom HaAkedah, and it became a mountain. And that's Bahar Hashem Yireh. And he says, that's why, Bekol Har Avdu HaAkum LaAvodah Zarah, that's why the Avdei Avodah Zarah chose mountains. Kumvor Mishnah Avodah Zarah Memhei. That we were allowed to build based on a mountaintop in Eretz Yisrael, based on the words of a Navi. So he says that the Rav Nosson Adler said before the Akedah was an Emek. So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah didn't worship there, so it never became a Makom Avodah Zarah. Then it became a Har at the Akedah, so right away, when it became a Har, it was Hukdash. So that's when it already got its Kedusha. So someone can't then come and answer it. Once it's already Hukdash, they're not going to be able to come and answer it. So that's why Dafka has to be a Har. It can only be in a Har. That's the only place where it's covered Ashkina. So what? We have Harabais. What's the problem? So he says, no, we don't really have Harabais. What happened was, he says, "Va'achshav l'dvareinu." In the last paragraph over there in Rav Shembach, "L'chora meniel livnos hayom beis hamikdash b'mekomo sha'makom eino har sha'akum tishdishu v'chafru sham." The Shalosh Shuvos Radvaz limtzua yisodos. The Radvaz writes that the goyim destroyed and dug and tried to find the foundations of the beis hamikdash. V'chem meidach yisa hosifu ofer b'mekomo saviv. They also added dirt in the areas surrounding it, so that it doesn't look like a high mountain. Lashkiach hamakom imakosol maravi shenizkala shavacherkach. V'lo rak shesarfu be'eshayich v'azaros kol hamikdash. Rak aru arad yisodba. They didn't just burn down the place. They dug up the whole thing. They leveled the mountain. V'afilu karka hamikdash k'meyaz lo nishalanu. We don't even have the karka of the mikdash. Shechafru v'tishtushu legamri zechra hamikdash. V'haynu nami karka heichol v'azaros rachman al-islan. So we're missing even the ground of the Heichel and the Azaros. So if we want to go build the Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be on a har. So that's why it's not right for the Ashras HaShechina. And therefore, he says that maybe even if we make a har out of it, we bring in a bunch of construction vehicles and we pour sand and we build it up again, he says, ain't no Baruch Sheyoil. I don't know if that's necessarily going to help. Maybe you need the Makom itself to be a har, meaning Be'etzem Tivo, that just like that its very nature should be a har, Al Derech Neis or something. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen, how we're going to have a third base of English. But the Brisker Rav says that it's got to be a har, and that's our minia. That's the problem. That's, I would not say, the greatest of the problems, because that's a great chiddush to say in the first place that it needs to be dafka in a har. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Rambam that you need a dafka to be in a har. It doesn't say. So it's difficult. It's a chiddush. Brisker Rav says a lot of chidushim. It gives new meaning to the understanding of Nechresha Ha'ir, meaning what is it that we're so upset about on Tish B'Av, that we're mourning on Tish B'Av. So the Mishnah in Taina says that the Gezeirah of the Meraglim, the Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, Milka de Beitai, and Nechresha Ha'ir. What was that one about, Nechresha Ha'ir? That it was plowed? Once it's gone, who cares whether it's plowed? But maybe that's the point. It was gone, that's one thing, so we didn't have a base of Middash. But then the whole Makom is plowed, and then you lose the ability to bring Karbanos. So maybe that's something more. That's how the Mishnah Berurah explains what Nechresh Ha'ir means, that Charash Tarnasrofas HaRashas HaHechel V'Svivav. It's not just the whole city of Yerushalayim, it's the Makom HaMikdash that it's talking about, that it was Nechresh. So that could explain why that's such a horrible thing, that it makes the list of the five things that we're mourning on Tisha B'Av. What are the other problems that the Poskim really discuss? So first of all, Poskim point out that Makriv Naf Pishein Bias is only while I mentioned before, Binyan Sion claims is only while the Beis HaMikdash is under construction. Makriv Naf Pishein Bias does not mean stam to just be makriv a carbon. Another problem the Poskim point out is we don't have Big Day Kuhuna nowadays, and Kohanim, Bizman Shebigdeyim Aleim, Kuhunasim Aleim. When they're wearing their Big Day Kuhuna, so then they have a status of a Kohen. Bizman Shein Bigdeyim Aleim, Ein Kuhunasim Aleim. They can't be Makriv without Big Day Kuhuna. So what's the big deal? Make Big Day Kuhuna. Go to Machon HaMikdash, they'll give you Big Day Kuhuna. What's the problem? So in order to make Big Day Kuhuna, you need several materials. You need Argaman, and there's Machlokes Ramam Ravid what Argaman is, so you're going to have to figure that out. You need Tcheles, so if you hold that you haven't yet found Tcheles, so then you got a problem with the Tcheles. Although Rav Sirish Kalish said we haven't found Tcheles, but it's not a problem, because you don't need Tcheles from the Chilazon for Big Day Kuhuna. So Tcheles from the Chilazon was only for Tzitzis. He had a beautiful diuk in the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam just for a quick second, the Rambam in Hilchas Tzitzis, the Rambam writes, where is it? Yeah, in source number 18. Tchelas ha'amura b'torah b'kol makom, hi atzemer hatzavua. What is that? I don't know. Shebekachal, with that it's wool that's colored with the blue. Vizui demus harakia nearest le'ena shemesh b'torah shal rakia. Tells you what it looks like. Tells you the color. Vatchelas ha'amura b'tzitzis tzarech shetiyas v'yasa tziyah yidur shametz b'yop v'lo tishtanu v'kol shal, etc. And the tchelas of tzitzis has to be a certain color that can never change and can never fade, meaning now he's talking about a dye. When he spoke about the tchelas ha'amura b'torah, he's talking about a color. When he talks about the tchelas of tzitzis, he's talking about a particular dye. And in halacha beis, it becomes clear that way as well, that the whole din of chilazon may not be a din in big dekuna, may only be a din in tzitzis. So that's what Sirosh Kalash said. So we can figure out the color of tchelas. We don't need to go get an artificial color of tchelas, and we'll be fine with the big dekuna. Another problem is the lack of kohanim yuchasim. So the Rambam in Nisri Bia writes that kohani chazaka is not enough, based on the Gemara and Ksuvah, Staf Chav Dalit, that Nehemiah didn't allow the Bnei Barzilai HaKohen to bring korbanos, even though they could do it, they need Shuma, because they weren't Kohanim Yuchasim. You need Kohanim Yuchasim, we only have Kohanim Chazaka. We don't have anyone with the Shtar Yichus that goes all the way back. So Sirosh Kalasha says, nah, that was only in the days of Nehemiah he didn't want to allow people to rely on their Yichus, because everyone was intermarrying in those days. You read the Navi, it was horrible what was going on. Nowadays, no one intermarries. No, nowadays it's not as significant a problem. The Chassam Sofer says, no, of course everyone intermarries, and of course it's a problem, but Kohen Miuchas is only Din L'Chadchila. It's not a Din B'diavad. B'diavad you could do without a Kohen Miuchas, you could still bring Karbanos even without a Kohen Miuchas. Then the final problem, is probably the biggest problem, is determining the Makom HaMizbeach and the dimensions of the Mizbeach. The Rambam is so careful in the second paragraph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira to tell you the level of precision necessary in order to build the Kasher Mizbeach. But what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said you need a Nevi'im to identify the Makom, to identify the exact size and everything. So we can't do it with that kind of position, with that kind of precision. And without a Mizbeach, there definitely can't be Karbanos. So if Kalisha understood, why did they need Nevi'im? Because that was after the Churban Bayis Rishon, where there was nothing left. But there's enough left archaeologically to figure out after Churban Bayis Sheni where the Mizbeach was. And he said, especially if you know where the Evan Shesia is, which is right under the dome, you could just measure from there and figure it out using measurements from there. He thought we can get it close enough. Or he thought we can get it 100% precisely, and we would then be able to bring Kavanah. So again, halacha v'lo l'maisa, it's a fascinating historical debate. That's Hashem, it should be l'maisa very soon.